If you're one of those people that save your bulletins from week to week to pass on to your grandchildren, there's a typo or references to Mark 12, not the Mark 11 in your bulletin. So I'm reading from Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect at the sweet shop, at the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day, our Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'd like to think that my generation had something to do with it. That's when the phrase "question authority" was popularized. It started, most people believe, with my friend Timothy Leary, who challenged people to think for yourself and question authority, an invitation that soon started appearing on t-shirts and bumper stickers all over the place. Did anyone live through that era? As a matter of fact, the orientation caught on so much with young people that Richard Nixon called Timothy Leary the most dangerous man alive. This, of course, greatly pleased him. Leary said, "When Nixon called me that, I was thrilled. The president of the United States, who many Americans and the rest of the world thought was a crazed, psychotic danger, for him to be calling me, well, that's my Nobel Prize. That's my bumper sticker, and that's my trophy on the wall." So you might be questioning the wisdom of this topic on Pledge Dedication Sunday. After all, if I'm successfully persuading you to question religious authority, you might be changing your mind about your pledge card, just tearing that up. Frankly, I'm not too concerned about that. You see, I think there are healthy ways and unhealthy ways to question authority, and I'm just hoping that you'll be attracted to the healthy way. But narrowing our focus to the questioning religious authority, there seems to be pretty clear precedent for that. The scribes and the Pharisees were the unquestioned religious authority of Jesus' era, and yet he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around with long robes and be greeted with respect and to have the best seats in the synagogues. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers." Elsewhere, Jesus referred to the Pharisees and Sadducees as a brood of vipers. Jesus told both the disciples and the crowds, "But do not do as the scribes and Pharisees do, for they do not practice what they teach." I could really go on with many, many references like this, but suffice it to say, there's pretty good precedent in the Bible for questioning religious authority. This angle of questioning religious authority relates to something that I was saying a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about systemic evil or institutional evil. We contended that once any social system exists, an institution, it has to maintain and assert itself at all costs. It just seems to be the nature of things. The Pharisees and Sadducees were part of a system that, though religious in nature, needed to defend itself at all costs. that needed to assure itself that it had the financial wherewithal to maintain the system. It needed to assure itself that it had the status and the power to maintain the system. Our text today illustrates how Jesus saw this clearly for what it was. Jesus questioned this kind of religious authority. The Catholic Church has been in the news a lot in recent decades for widespread abuse of children, primarily by priests. And when cases surfaced, abusive priests were moved to other parishes because the social system needed to protect itself at all costs. By the 1990s, the cases started to receive significant media and public attention. There's the documentary some of you might have seen, Suffer the Children, and more recently, a 2015 film, Spotlight, which reviewed the critical investigation of the Boston Globe. And though the church offers apologies, its orientation was still to protect itself and its fortunes. Jesus would have us question this kind of religious authority. Of course, there's other kinds of religious authority that deserve questioning. Beyond the realm of protecting the wealth of the church can also exert power by being the institution by which truth is defined and managed. Once you are in the truth management business, it's a small leap to then be in the morality management business. The church or any religious institution can exert considerable power once it becomes the self-proclaimed authority that prescribes how people should both act and think. And while it might sound strange for a professional clergy person to be saying this, I would suggest that Jesus would have us question this kind of authority. It does not imply a reactionary discounting without thinking, but rather genuinely, honestly asking questions and exploring the premise of various arguments. Sometimes it seems that we gravitate towards religious authority because it's so much easier than thinking. We abuse the Bible by treating it as though it were a simple answer book, rather than seeing it as a book filled with conflicts, paradoxes, and even historical inaccuracies. However, it is precisely by learning to struggle with these seeming paradoxes that we grow up into an adult faith, not by avoiding them with brief one-line sentences out of the catechism. We have inadvertently created people who prefer quick answers rather than humble seekers of God and truth. I sometimes think that even Karl Barth might have had a mystical side. In his Theology of Reformed Confessions, he claimed that the Reformed confessions were not a frozen river on which one could walk. They were rather a freely flowing river in which one can only swim. I would contend that we should also question and be wary of religious authority that more often than not questions religious experience rather than preparing fertile soil for religious experience. Genuine religious experience cannot be controlled, and religious authority is not very comfortable with things that it cannot control. The current tact of our discussion reflects not only a change in the church in general, I think, but even a change at Shepherdstown Presbyterian specifically. The church in general seems to be less doctrinaire or at least the branch of the church that seems to have a future. And while we do still feel sincerely and profoundly attracted to the way and the spirit of Jesus, we no longer find it scary or threatening to be open to the possibility of the wisdom to be received in other traditions. We have found attractive elements in the realm of mystery rather than being fearful of that which cannot be explained. And beyond living in the head, we have discovered an invitation to an opening of the heart that changes us. Enter the word transformation that we use. To be clear, I intentionally started this meditation with a call to question religious authority, and that was intentional as opposed to using the word spiritual authority. I see religious authority and spiritual authority as two entirely different things. As I use these terms, religious authority implies a broader institutional orientation, and institutions always need defending. Spiritual authority does not need defending, does not seek to defend itself, and frankly could care less about defending itself. Spiritual authority is a byproduct of one's own experience of the divine, and not as a result of a seminar where one is taught the four spiritual laws or the secrets of sacred posture. You don't need to evaluate the spiritual authority of another. You sense it or you don't. It makes a difference or it doesn't. Encountering someone with innate spiritual authority has no implication of hierarchy. Encountering someone with spiritual authority touches you with both love and hope. As I suggested earlier, I think there are healthy and unhealthy ways to question authority. One can question authority flippantly and in a condescending fashion. One can question authority humbly and earnestly. Rather than generating questions that are merely designed to trip up another and knock them off their pedestal, I would love for us to be the kind of community where questions can be earnest and humble. In this case, spiritual authority can be questioned not as though simple answers were being pursued, but as though stories were being pursued. After all, some truths are better caught than taught. It is in hearing the story of another that our heart might be opened to new ways of seeing. So by wrapping up this brief meditation, we should be asking tough questions that challenge religious authority, including the authority of our own Presbyterian institution. This is not with the assumption that we must blow up the institution, but that we must at least be ready to shine a light on its innate bias towards institutional survival. And aside from being combative, may we also rediscover the art of asking genuine, sincere, innocent questions. There's something to be said for lovingly questioning spiritual authority. Jesus knew whether or not questions directed towards him were sincere or designed to trip him up. So rather than only using questions as tools to build our case, may we rediscover the art of asking questions with a beginner's mind, with the innocence of a child. For as such is the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me? May we be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Teach us to have piercing insights that question religious authority, but also give us the beginner's mind to truly ask questions, not showing off all that we know, but truly and humbly coming before all that you have to offer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The next hymn is a fine hymn.